88, are you awake?
What a mess.
K-88,
I'm sorry, who is that?
K-88, Anthony. Who do I got here?
Wally, N-A-K-P-P. These roads are an absolute mess. I mean, my gosh, we dump tons and tons of salt on these roads when we don't need it, and when we do need it, and a salt truck around. I don't get it.
Where are you at? I drove from Grosse Pointe to Madison Heights, and they weren't great, but they weren't bad, and I saw several salt trucks that had already been out, and so maybe they're just a little slower where you are.
New Baltimore along County Line Road. County Line Road is closed if anybody hails this way. From 26 to 23 or Green Street, it's closed. Nothing but accidents. So, this is kind of frustrating. So, yeah, there's no salt trucks around here at all. So, that's my, I don't know, just a gesture for the day, or professional courtesy. Plus, I'm frustrated.
I get it. You guys must have got it worse a little further north than we did. So, I'm thankful for that, but it sucks because there's nothing you can do with ice. They just need to get out and salt it, and it needs to melt.
Yeah, I know. So, usually it's a 4-minute drive for me to work today, and so far I've been in the car probably 25 minutes. So, it's kind of frustrating. And then, in their infinite wisdom, they forced you to turn right, which means you have to turn left on 26 Mile, which, I don't know, I'm coming up on that one, so I'm going to put the microphone down and pay attention. RUHNAKPP, I'll call you back.
All right, be safe. I'll catch up with you later. KE8RUH.
AWCL. W-8-F-U-N-A-W.
I don't think he's home.
Why is that? He's at work or something?
No, he had a conference.
He had a work conference.
Oh, roger. Okay, good enough. N-A-W.
I just seen a salt truck, RUH.
Congratulations, it's happening for you there, buddy.
They probably heard me venting on amateur radio.
Yeah, those DPW guys were listening, and they're like, man, Wally's complaining about the roads, let's get out there.
Yeah, so, and I'm on 26 mile now, and I'm moving at 11 mile an hour, 10 mile an hour, so, but I guess that's salt truck, you know, and it's really, you know, in the scheme of things, and with our infrastructure and stuff nowadays, you know, it's not a bad ice level, you know, I mean, it's a very manageable ice level, but I guess we take a lot of our infrastructure for granted, and when we don't have it, you get kind of bothered because you're so used to it. I guess that's probably the biggest thing for all the venting.
Absolutely. We've come to a point in time that life is awfully easy, and when they pull the plug on one piece of that, it can become very frustrating.
Yeah, you think that's true. I agree with that, so... All right, well, at least I'm getting close, I got to say that, so, well, now we're stopped again, so, but hey, salt trucks, it'll be better. I heard it's supposed to warm up next week, so that'll be a good thing.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the weather since earlier this week, but I think there's a day next week it's supposed to be 60 degrees.
Of course. Yeah, we're taking off Friday, tomorrow, going down to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic for 6 days or something like that. Some work, mostly pleasure. So looking forward to some sunshine and swimsuit and roasting my body.
That will be great. And although you would like it to be 60 when you're here, I don't think one 60-degree day is any comparison to being on the beach in the Dominican. So you're still winning.
That's kind of what I thought. So very good. So, all right, I'm on my final approach. I'm going to let you go. Anthony, I believe it is. I shall chat with you a bit later, and I'm glad your roads are better down there than they are up here. So advice of the day, by now, I guess if anybody did start heading north, by the time that they got here, I guess these roads are going to be in good shape because they are pouring the salt on now. So I guess that advice would be for not. Just drive slow heading up here. By the time you get here, it'll all be better. I'll talk to you later. I can't remember the prefix. RUH, NAKPP.
It was great talking to you this morning, Wally. This is Anthony, KEARUH. Have a great day, 7-3. And I'll be clear.
KEARUH, NAWGL.
I didn't catch that.
NAWGL again. Oh, where are you?
I am in Troy. I'm at Maple and Stevenson.
I thought you was way up north. I hear you guys talking about snow and this and that. I'm in Detroit, so you ain't that far from me there. So, how is it? I haven't looked outside. How is it outside? Can you tell?
It's a chilly one. Yeah, we're, I came from, I don't know where, if you're on the east side or the west side, but I came from 8 and 94 to get out here. Roads were pretty good. It's chilly, 28 degrees. But I think up where Wally was in New Baltimore, they got a lot more precipitation in the form of ice. So at my house, we had a little bit of snow on the ground, a little bit of ice. But by the time I got on the expressway, it was all good. I think you give it another hour, everything will be melted.
Well, very good, because I won't be coming out until probably this afternoon anyway. Yeah. I'm over here by 96 and Evergreen, yeah, Roger, in Detroit.
Okay, yeah, I didn't come from that side of town, but I would imagine you guys had a similar weather pattern to what I had, so all good.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Well, all right. Yeah, I don't get on this repeater much. I either see if, it's been so long, I forgot his name. W-8-F-U. Let me see, what is that?
Sean.
Yeah, Sean. I usually, Sean, and do you know Phil? What's the I forget.
I don't think I know a Phil.
Okay, well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's got his repeater connected to this one. Okay, now the one I'm on is, 442-600, and Phil, which is, let's see, his call is AVA-PR or something like that, and his is on 442-500. It's linked together, Roger.
All right, I don't know him. I am aware of him, though.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I sort of, you know, come down here to see if catch up with them sometime, yeah. I know there's other repeaters linked up to this one, like in Flint, Michigan, and that's why I thought maybe one of you guys were. So, okay. Yeah, I'll just scout around and see what I can pick up. Sherry, thanks for coming back. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
All right, it was great talking to you this morning. This is KERUH, and I will be clear walking into the office. Have a great day.
WAEAP. KJOWADAP.
KJO, good morning.
KF8BPA, good morning.
You just sending it to work?
Not so loud, please. Your audio is distorted, I would say. KF8BPA here.
KF8BPA, KCAKJO, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, good morning.
Kilo Juliet Oscar, BPA, KF8BPA, I didn't get your prefix. I'm not far away from the West Bloomfield repeater. My name is Vladimir, KF8BPA. Home QTH is Southfield. Now I'm in West Bloomfield. Back over to you.
Call sign is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. I am in Richmond, off F-19, bouncing off the Richmond repeater.
Roger that, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. I'm mobile now, but you didn't say your name, please, your name. KF8BPA, over.
The name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike.
USL, Tom. Thank you for the QSO. Drive safely. If you drive, I'm driving. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KF8BPA 73, Tom.
73, Vladimir. Drive safe. Have a good day at work. KCAKJO.
KF8BPA, over and out.
NHKPP mobile.
Is it cold over there too?
It's gotten better. This morning was a traffic nightmare.
W8FU.
Not hear us?
Man, I had my volume down. I didn't catch that. Is it what?
Your answer to your first question is this morning it was a traffic nightmare. It actually took me a half hour to get to work, which normally takes me 5 minutes. So it was a brutal morning, but now it's 30 degrees and the salt trucks have fixed a lot of things. So things are in much better shape around here. So the answer to your question is yes.
All right, well, it's clear here we got a very little dusting. And I don't think it was, I think it was the night before. I don't know. We got a very little dusting. There's just a little signs of snow in the grass. Roads are perfectly clear. I'm just leaving Muskegon now, a little ahead of schedule. And I got to make it, it's cold though, 30 degrees, which is a little chilly. Blood thinned out. And I just got to decide what route I'm taking home, 69 to 75 or 59 to 75 or try to get down into the city and brave the 696 closure. The Google tells me to take, to run the Lodge down to downtown and then shoot that across the 75 and come north. But, for almost no loss in time. That's like 2 hours and 56 minutes. For 2 hours and 57, I can go 69 in the Flint and come down 75 and not worry about any of it.
NAKPP. Well, it's always been my... Probably don't need high power. I'm at Warren and Van Dyke and 696. NAKPP, in case I didn't say that. It's always been my experience, do what Google says, or do what Apple Maps says, or do what Waze says. It's always been my experience that they're usually right.
Yeah, well, they're telling me it's a one-minute difference, but taking the 96 to the Lodge and try to buy, but that puts me right in it, you know, and right about, well, now getting a little jump, I'll be ahead of rush hour, but, you know, I don't know if I want to deal with any of that, so I think I'm going to take their, the only reason that the 69 to 75 route is the second, or the alternate choice is because it's a minute longer, but there's literally nothing to worry about on that route. But I also leaning towards Huron, so that's a lot of surface. I mean, I don't know. You may be right. Whatever. I got plenty of time to figure it out. I don't have to make a decision till Lansing.
Yeah, that'd be another good possibility. Don't worry about it till you get to Lansing, and then see what Google says or Waze or whatever your favorite map one is, and then make your decision from there. So, but yeah, if you're going up, if you said, I thought you said come down Port Huron, well, I would come down whatever it is, 19, the one that takes you into Richmond, and take that way down before I would go that far east. If you were referring to Port Huron, I wouldn't do that.
No, I think you're, when you heard me say 69, I think you thought of Port Huron. No, I'd be nowhere near there. I would take 69 in Lansing, then I would run that up to Flint, and then in Flint I'd take 75 south. I'd never get anywhere near that side of town.
No, okay. All right, yeah, that's what I thought. Well, usually when I do that, my daughter lives in Lansing, I usually come across and then I think it's called M19. I just buzz that down to Richmond. Of course, that takes me right into New Baltimore, which is where I live. So, but you have got to go significantly farther south. So either way, you get out this early, I think you're going to be in good shape. So how was the conference? Did you learn lots of valuable things?
Yeah, this year's conference was better than others. They're always I never regret it. They're always good. I mean, but I took away some, I learned some stuff at a few of the presentations. There was a presentation from Milwaukee about how they handled the RNC. And oh my God, what a nightmare. But they had some really clever solutions to some really challenging communications issues. And I thought, oh, that was brilliant. So, and then there was another guy from Indiana that was talking about some work they did down there. They did a bunch of stuff in preparation for the solar eclipse. Remember the solar eclipse? Because they anticipated they were going to have a real mess. And they said it didn't turn out to be anything. But, you know, they talked about, you know, the problems they anticipated and some preparations they made and stuff. And I got some pretty, you know, and that one I thought was going to be a big nothing burger. And I ended up getting a real good tidbit of information out of that one as well. Made some good contacts with some insiders, business insiders, and then I got a lot of really good work done, you know, in the after-hours sessions, you know, just regular, you know, my regular workday stuff, because all the people I work with are here, all the, you know, all the most, the key players, so, you know, you kind of got a captive audience, and, you know, it's over a beer, so everybody's, you know, nobody's looking to cut the conversation short. It was very productive. So, all in all, it was a very good conference this time around.
Well, good. I'm glad you got something out of it. So, that's always a plus anytime you're doing anything like that and there's everybody that's willing to help, you know. That's always a plus when you learn things, you know, because, you know, usually at our stages of the career, you know, yeah, I heard that. Okay, well, that's got recycled, you know, so a lot of the stuff is just kind of boring. But when something comes up that's different or out of the box or something that you haven't heard of in your chosen path, and I don't care what your career is, it's all the same, you know. If you've been in it as long as you and I have, you know, I mean, your perspective career, my perspective career, you hear something different, it's like, whoa. So it's like that. But usually most of the time I go stuff like that, I go, yeah they tried that back 30 years ago, yeah they tried that 20 years ago, you know, that kind of stuff. So good, I'm glad you got stuff out of it. Anything hammy related or all professional stuff?
So I've been going to this one for a number of years, probably 10 years, I'm thinking. It's been a while, or close to it, if not. And in years past, they decided to combine it with AuxCom. So you have, it was a public safety, you know, interoperability conference, and then they saw there was quite a bit of crossover, you know, in some cases. So they decided to combine AuxCom's conference, and for a couple of years, some of the first responders were complaining that it was getting a little too hammy, right? And so they were kind of like, "Hey, I'm not going to go because it was turning into a ham fest or a ham convention." But what they did in recent years is they partitioned it off. So they'll have, like, at, you know, the 9 o'clock session over in the main conference room, they'll have, you know, Verizon will be talking about their, you know, their emergency operations center, what they can bring to your emergency, and the resources that they have, contacts, things like that. You know, and the first responders are all interested in doing that, or they'll have, you know, Milwaukee talking about how they handle the RNC, or, you know, just any number of things, you know, that get discussed over there. And then they'll have a breakout session in another conference room where it'll be, you know, AuxCom, you know, talking about, you know, whatever their topic is, you know. And and I go down the list and I look, and I actually broke away for you know, a few of the you know, the AuxCom related ones. And you know, because when I looked over at the one on the public safety side, I said, you know, there's nothing I'm going to get out of this one. And you know, and it's not my specialty, because, you know, they do some of the things are more, I had a couple of my dispatchers with me, and you know, there were things that they were more interested in than I. So, you know, yeah, it worked out real good. So, you know, and it's nice to be able to pick like that. I notice a lot of people kind of, you know, either wear both hats, or they're just curious to look in on and see, you know, well, what can we get from them? So I think it's a good avenue for that, too, to, you know, set up some rapport and some relationships and you know, maybe some of these first responders, you know, because they're mostly, you know, they're mostly administrative type people. I wouldn't say that. It's a good mix, but, you know, maybe somebody will see something and say, you know, I never knew that they could offer that. Maybe I'll look into that, see if I can get a rapport with my local, you know, amateur group to provide me that service. You know, you never know.
Hey, Mr. Sean, I have to let you go. I heard everything you said, though, but I'm glad it worked well, and we can chat a little bit later. So I've got, I'm over here at a plant, and they're calling me in. So I'll talk to you later. NAKPP, I'm sure there's a lot other people out here, and I'm going to be doing a lot of driving, so I'll throw my call back out, and I'll find you. And your radio's working remarkably well. I'll chat later. That's you, NAKPP.
Oh, yeah, I do like a nice, quiet, listen to the radio stretch as well, so don't have to be on this silly thing. All right, catch you in a bit. Get to work. This is W8FU, somewhere between Muskegon and Grand Rapids.
What you doing out that way?
I was at a conference, the Michigan Public Safety Communications Interop Conference.
Oh, sounds like fun. You're on your way back from it?
I am. It was in Muskegon, and I left a little bit ago to try to get a jump. It goes a little longer, but I have a conference call I got to go get on in a little bit, and, you know, I figured I could do that from sitting there and just wasting time, or I could do it in the car on the drive back, and then there's just closing remarks and blah, 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 so, you know, I figured, you know what, I'm just going to get a jump. So, yes, I'm on my way home from that now, west of Grand Rapids.
Okay, so you got at least a couple hours drive ahead of you. All right. So I got a question for you. So with my repeater and the amplifier situation, I'm trying to decide what to do. This guy's got he's actually got a couple of them. He's willing to give me dirt cheap some GE Master 3s with power, with 28 volt power supplies that run them. Do you know anything about those?
Dan, are you here? Can you make an all-star connection? I'll give you the node number. Or wait, I'll tell you what. Give me a minute. Let me see if I can raise him on a different radio. See if I can get him to come here. Be a little easier. He is the authority on that. He can tell you everything you need to know. And he knows from an amateur's perspective as well. I will be back in a minute.
Okay, I'll stand by. ADA's here.
Hang here for a minute. I'm going to disconnect from here, and I'm going to connect up to his hub, which I know he's running. He's on the road home, too, right now. And I'm going to tell him to, I'm going to connect to him, then I'm going to have him connect up to us. So it'll take me a couple of minutes to raise him, but hang here. W8FU.
Roger.
N8NM.
Was that you, Steve?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you down south or are you up here?
No, I'm down here where it's more, reasonable.
Okay. I was just talking to Sean. He's had to go see if he can get somebody over here to talk to me about an amp situation. So he'll be back in a few moments. What's happening?
Well, I can't can't remember what I did with my little box of crimp-on connectors, and it's kind of driving me nuts, so I made a cup of coffee, and I'm going to sit down and get away from it for a minute.
Yeah, I got one of those, too. I got a whole bunch of crimp-on connectors. I got a little plastic case I keep most of them in, or at least a variety of them in, but then I got, like, backup stock of boxes of them. Try to keep a good stock of those at all times. You never know when you're going to need them.
Exactly, and I know I have the same thing here, but I can't remember where the hell I put it. And what's frustrating is this place isn't that big. It's not big enough to misplace things in, but somehow I've managed to do it.
Yeah, mine is bright yellow, so it's easy to spot.
That's what I should do, is put it like some sort of flag on it like that so I can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate it when you know something's supposed to be somewhere and you go to look for it and it's not there and kind of rack your brain, what the hell did I do it? But I know it's here somewhere. It's so frustrating.
Because nobody else goes in here at all, so, oh well, I'll get over it. It's not important. Kind of cool here this morning. It's only probably about 60. Little nippy.
Okay. What area are you in again?
I'm in Lakeland.
Oh, do you go watch the Tiger practices?
We try to at least once a year, usually when we have visitors, because it's kind of pricey anymore, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, they charge for that. I always just kind of thought it was free, you know. But, wow. And that's expensive, huh? That's surprising.
Well, the preseason games are, and you know, it's the same with any event. It's not so much the ticket; it's the beers and the parking and everything else. But it's still a good time because you get, you know, it's like watching the Tigers at like a high school ballpark. I don't know about practice. They have quite a complex over there, and not all of it is accessible, you know, to the public, but they might do something. Usually, I'm trying to think why we've never checked that out. I think it's just hasn't happened. I don't think there's a reason for it, but I will have to look into that maybe next year.
Okay. I was wondering why they never built like a practice indoor stadium, you know, here. But I guess it'd be pretty big. It'd have to be pretty big. But you know, they do with football. But you know, now I think about it, actually, a practice stadium for football doesn't really need. It only needs basically a little bigger than the field size. Whereas baseball, I guess you need the stands and all that other stuff. So not a good option, I guess. But it just seems like having it all in one area would be financially better, but who knows?
Is there a breaking station? N8NM. Well, yeah, I've been breaking wind for the last 20 minutes. Anyhow, I couldn't raise Dan. He must be on a business call. I know he said he had some work to do, is why he cut out early. But he is driving on his way home from Muskegon to Milan, so
he's going to be out on the road for a few hours, and I told the guys that were over on his node that they heard him to send him this away. I'll check for him a little later, but no hide nor hair of him right now, Phil. And good, what is it, morning still? Yeah, good morning, Steve-O.
Good morning. Just, I was telling Phil I'm looking for my little box of crimp connectors, and I got pissed off, so I'm taking a break from it.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about okay, that damn PUT, of course. Yeah, he would know. All right, I'll keep listening, standing by listening for him if he shows up.
Yeah, when it comes to anything about GE Master series, I mean, I knew a fair amount about the GE Master 2, but you know, it's progressed, and he was a GE guy. He's still kind of a little bit of a GE fanboy, although he's Mr. Motorola now. But I know he can steer you straight on that for sure. Your question would be right up his alley.
Yeah, I knew he was Motorola. I didn't know he had experience with GE before. But all right. Well, if you, I don't know if you left him a message or whatever, but I'll just keep listening over here, and hopefully he'll show up. So all right, I'll let you guys carry on. I got some stuff I'm working on here. Catch you later. Go ahead, Steve. Take it. AVA up here.
All right. Have fun out there, and be careful. There's people out there.
That's right. Cloudy with a 100% chance of people.
So are you homeward bound?
Yeah, I got a call I got to do, and instead of just sneaking out of a session, and then I looked at the schedule and said I'd be coming back just for the closing remarks, and I'm like, I mean, I love Brad and all, you know, but I've heard his closing remarks 1,000 times.
Oh, Mr. Stoddard, I haven't thought about him for 7 years.
Wow, it's hard to imagine. It's been 7 years.
I'm correct. About 6.5, because it was my last day was the end of September of 2018, so yeah.
Does that mean Keith has already got that many years in over there? Because he had 6 in at the state before he went there.
Well, I don't know. No, they dragged their feet on replacing me for some reason, and he didn't start till, I want to say, a year after I left. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I thought it was a long time after I left before they finally got around to, you know, doing their job.
All right, yeah, who knows? Who knows, but I know he's been there a while. I don't know if he was there all through COVID. I think he might have been, not sure. You know, COVID just took a couple of years out of us, right? It's like the COVID years. A lot of stuff wasn't happening. I mean, our regular stuff was going on, just the regular keep things running, but no projects, no major conventions or collaborations or, you know, just all the weird stuff. You were retired by then, so you just had to suffer through the mask mandates and toilet paper runs. The work environment was really weird for a couple of years.
Yeah, I can... Well, I remember going and meeting with you and Brandon at one point in the thick of it where masks had to be worn in common areas, but once we got into your office and, you know, of course, observed proper distancing, we were allowed to unmask ourselves. Yeah, in retrospect, it's all kind of silly, but I guess it made sense at the time.
Now, you won't convince me it didn't save lives. You know, once you get through something, you go, oh, that was stupid, but you won't convince me that it wasn't good. The mask never was designed to protect anyone from getting it. It was to protect you from spittling all over Grandma, you know, so... But everybody, of course, I know when I'm sick, and no, the problem is you don't, right? You know, that's the problem. Everybody thinks they're an expert. You don't know that you're contagious until it's too late. Now you've spread it all over. So that's how those things have propagated all these years. So I'm convinced that they had a positive effect. Now, I don't think the shutdowns were appropriate. I've been spoken out against those since forever. You know, I think those were economically damaging. I think we're still suffering the repercussions. All this inflation and all this other crap we got, it's all just trickle down from we're paying the price for all that shutdown stuff. And we suffered a little less than I thought, but who knows? You never know how far this is going to, you know, rumble.
Yeah, we haven't started paying the bills yet, so it's hard to say yet. But, yeah, you know, I agree with you, and I just think that they dragged it out too far, and, you know, if not the mask, certainly the isolation. I think, you know, once the vaccine was in the pipe, and, you know, they should have been a little less controlling about all that, and we'd probably be, you know, a lot better shape economically and mentally, because people kind of totally went off their birds, man.
Right, right. It's always, you know, it's always great, you know, armchair quarterbacking it after the game, right? But you know, if I, in retrospect, I'd have just said, okay, you know, mask up and wash your, you know, use hand sanitizer, keep your, you know, keep hygiene probably was the number one thing more than anything. You know, mask up, be very conscious of hygiene, you know, with the hand sanitizer and all that stuff, and go about your business. That would have been my, you know, my solution. You know, and with the operative being, and go about your business. You know, and I know when I brought that up to Megan, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you would do that, blah, 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 blah. I said, you know, and, you know, the high-risk population, I go, I'm the high-risk population these days, you know, I mean, let's face it. And I'm willing to do that to not cripple the economy for my grandchildren. Okay? I'll take the chance. Oh, that's ridiculous. Rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, I remember talking about it with you at the time, and I think back then there was, like, you, me, and maybe the governor down here were the only ones saying that, and you're right, people did say we were nuts, but in retrospect, again, I think we were right.
Yeah, yeah, the shutdown scared the hell out of me. You know, like I said, I'm not sure when we're going to feel the full brunt of that. Maybe, you know, maybe it won't be all that much. Maybe we'll have some inflation, some other various things. It's changed a lot. You know, I mean, we're having the whole work-from-home, workplace thing is really shaken out. I know employers are wanting their people back. I know employees, you know, now how you keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry, right? You know, everybody wants to work from home now, and it's like employers like, yeah, nah, we kind of want you here. And it's like, so we're going through those pains right now as more and more employers are just like, get your ass back to the shop. And, you know, particularly younger workers are like, yeah, nah, not so much. But I think you're going to be finding less and less places being, you know, totally flexible. We're gonna, you know, I got most of it. We never were able to, even in the height of it, we were reporting. You know, because, I mean, we can't. You know, we have to. I try to work from home a day or two a week. I never do. I never, ever. I mean, it's not like I do occasionally. Like if I've got something to do, like at noon on the west side, I'll say, okay, I'm gonna start in the morning from home, you know, because there's no point in me running all the way up to the Mount Clemens, you know, just to be, you know, in Plymouth, you know, by noon, you know, so I'll work from home in the morning. So that's the only time I do it is when it's like convenient, you know, and it makes sense, you know, and I just can't bring myself to do it. Maybe if I had a really nice office space set up, you know, I suppose, but, you know, I've only got one that really does any work from home, and I wish she didn't work from home as much as she does, but it's a matter of me saying it, and I hate to do it, you know. I think, I don't know, but Brandon's got it worse in his end. He's got a lot of people that do some working from home, so he's been curtailing it, slowly trying to rein it in.
Yeah, well, it's been 5 years. It's time. But on the other hand, you know, there's a few occupations, like one of my neighbors back home is an engineer, and he likes it, his company likes it, because he's more productive, because he's not distracted, and, you know, even before I retired and before all of this, most of our meetings were remote, or, well, not most of mine, but a lot of our meetings were remote via telephone anyways, so, you know, if it makes sense, sure, but, you know, a lot of this stuff, I don't know. I think it's time to, I don't know how in certain professions you can work without having face-to-face human interactions. I don't think email and Zoom calls and stuff are a good substitute in every application.
Oh yeah, there are certain professions, occupations, lines of work that are you know, just made for that. You know, I would say real estate. It's nice to have an office to go to when you need that office environment, but you know, probably be more productive, you know, having things at home so often, you know, so I could see getting, not all the time, but, and it, like you said, the engineering type, you know, like you said, if you're doing mostly all, you know, not the mechanical part of it, but if you're doing the design and all that stuff work, sure. You know, there's a lot of professions that could certainly do it, so I'm certainly not talking about those. And I think that's what happened is a lot, we realized that in a lot of professions, you could really do it just as well, if not better, from home. And let them continue to do it, you know. But I think there's some that are like, you know, like, well, clerical. You know, I have clerical staff that's, you know, they work 3 days a week. I cut it down to two days a week from home. And they can get most of their work done there. But there's aspects of that work that require a physical presence, you know, like, you know, answering the phone when the guys are busy with customers, you know, handling the, you know, the incoming packages and the outgoing packages, and seeing people at the door when they come in, like a reception portion of it and all that stuff. And, you know, and you know, if we just get busy, something breaks down, and we got to clear the place out. You know, at least there's somebody back to, you know, handle somebody when they come in. So it's like, yes, there's a lot of that, a good portion of that work can be done remotely, a great deal of it, but there's also a on-site component that can't be done any other way, you know, and I lose that whatever days I allow remote. So it's kind of a thing where I go, damn it, you know.
Yep, yep. And, you know, one thing that, and it doesn't matter whether you're the type of person that has a job that, you know, can do a remote or can't, but the sharing of knowledge, the ability to go, hey, how the hell do I do this, and yell at the guy in the next cube or whatever, and have somebody able to do that without, you know, instead of having to call the help desk and talk to Raj over in Delhi.
Yeah, it's the in-person collaboration. It seems trivial, but it's very important. That's like this conference, you know. It's like, you know, half the value at minimum, maybe more, is the you know, chatting with all the people at the break, sitting down with them for lunch or breakfast, going and eating up with them in the bar after, you know, after the conference is over for the day. I mean, it's those interactions that are gold, you know, and the, you know, so, you know, and what does that tell you? So you being present in person, you know, just beats the hell out of this impersonal kind of, like, you know, remote stuff. It's getting better, you know, with the chats and the Zooms are getting easier, and it's getting better to do stuff, and we now have these collaborative things like Slack and Telegram and stuff. It does make it considerably better, but still, you can't beat that, you know, breaking bread. That's it's always great to break some bread, but hey, whatever. C'est la vie. I probably got to stop and get some gas here, so let me see what this next. 43B is where I'm going to get some gas.
Fine business.
I'm thinking I'm in the Greater Grand Rapids region here. It looks Grand Rapids-y, and the streets are getting numbers like 28th and 36th, so usually you have that when you're getting near a city center of some magnitude.
Hello, radio. Every once in a while, weird things happen.
Grand Rapids. I don't remember that. Very interesting, but stupid.
You know, we were over in Grand Rapids last fall for my niece's wedding, and there's some pretty cool parts of it. I wish I could have seen them, but that's where, I don't know if I told you about my freak-out experience where I got up, you know, to go walk around the block just to get some air, and wasn't used to being blind at the time, and people were kind of coming out of the ether, and it was weird.
Yeah, I didn't remember where, but I remember you telling me about that, so, anywho. All right, now I got to make a decision. Well, it looks like the decision's made for me. Looks like it's going to be Citgo, so let me pay attention here. All right, I'm going to get some gas. I'll be back out here in a little bit, and we'll pick it up from there if you'll indulge me. Oops, that's diesel. All right. I'm going to get my head screwed on straight here. I'll be back in a bit. W8FU.
You're running on my Alexa, Phil.
Very good, N8NM. I'll probably be here. I found my box of crimp connectors to the course. I'm out of the ones I want.
Arrgh! Oh, it's Murph. All right, building up a sound.
Well, that was interesting.
Did you not speak it in the right hole?
Huh? No. One, it was cold, and I don't have enough clothes on. And two, I couldn't find my darn work credit card. It was buried at the bottom of my goodie bag. I was like, what the hell? And I'm not dressed, and I'm hanging out, my butt's hanging out the back of the car, getting all cold, and my testicles were shrinking, and
information.
Most unfortunate.
I don't use them anyhow.
Oh, hold on, my radio is switching out. I don't know why. So I missed that. I said, "Did you give me back?"
Did I hear Dan in here? Hey, Fred, can you get a hold of Brother Dan? Where is he at? Is he on Seaman 1?
I don't know if he's on Seaman 1. I don't think he's... I've heard him before, but I don't know if he was on one of our radios or one of his. But I don't know where Dan is. Do you know where Dan is?
Well, I am just east of Grand Rapids, and he left just a little ahead of me, so he is somewhere on the road heading home.
I don't know, but you guys got goodie bags? I never got a goodie bag. I feel hurt.
No, goodie bag like that. This is just, I usually have my suitcase, which is more a duffel that I take, and then my backpack with my laptop and whatnot in it. But then I usually carry a little, it's actually a Xfinity bag that I, they hand you those little, I don't know what they're made out of, they're woven nylon or something bags with the handles. And I usually, that's where I put like spare batteries and cords and all sorts of other stuff, and that usually sits up on the passenger seat with me while I'm driving, because if it was in the suitcase, I'd have to go digging around in the suitcase, and it's all the things I might need, batteries, cables, radios, things like that, and so when I got to the show, I decided to get down to the bare minimums, one credit card, my license, couple bucks in cash, and some business cards, and that's all I was carrying. Took the rest of my wallet, and I didn't know where the hell I put it, so I put it at the bottom of that goodie bag I just described.
Well, there you go. I'm just sitting here working. There's snow on the ground. There wasn't yesterday, but there's snow now, so...
VHF hub connected. 2.
Ooh, VHF hub is connected.
3-8.
Oh, okay. Good for the VHF hub. But no, I haven't heard Dan.
Updated
weather.
Wind advisory.
Ooh, there's a wind advisory.
All right, well, Steve, you being a Huron guy and Fred, you being a 69er, and I'm a 696er. 696 is Jack, so I am not going home that way. So the question is, do I, at Lansing, do I cut 69, take that into Flint and come south, or do I get off in Howell and take RIP 59 across the Pontiac? Clearly, that's the more direct route, but it's probably the least, or probably the most traffic, light. Is that a pretty good rip? It's a long run, Steve.
It depends what time of day you hit it. If you're going to be coming through, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, missing the crowds, it's not too bad. That's usually how I get home from over there.
Well, I don't know how far. I don't know this area very well. So, like I said, I'm somewhere east of Grand Rapids.
And
I can check my phone, I suppose.
Actually,
mile 49. So, I'll have to make a decision. It seems 69 up in the Flint and then coming south of 75. Probably smooth, but seems quite a bit out of the way to me.
Oh, he doubled. So just so you know, instead of taking your, if it's the same mileage, 169 miles, that it would be to go, or if you're going from Grand Rapids to Mount Clemens, but you're going home, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to Warren.
So, yeah, it's 2 hours and 26 minutes to go from Grand Rapids to your house, via 6975 and down, whereas it's usually 2 hours and 14 minutes to take 696 across. It doesn't even give me the option of taking 59 across, so I would just take 69 to 75 down.
Yeah, that's my dilemma. It's counterintuitive to us that live down in the hood that you would go all the way up to Flint and then come down. But when you look at it on the map, it's not so ridiculous. And I'm familiar with 59, so it's comfort level. You know, Murph lives on 59, and I got several other friends that live up on, you know, off of 59 there. You know, in that strip, I should say. They don't live on 59, obviously, but they live in that corridor. So it's comfortable to me. So that's the thing. So I got to make my decision before Lansing.
So right now, 2 hours and 50 minutes from Grand Rapids to your house, taking 59 usually now. So while it is less miles, it's 30 minutes or 25 minutes faster or slower to go 59, it says. And that's right now.
Ooh, that's a sizable amount of time. So, Now the other one they're suggesting is I take 96 straight into the lodge. That means I got to get right up to the shutdown portion of the freeway, and then take with every other sucker, drive that down into Detroit, probably cop 94 across the 75 and come north. And I'm thinking, I know that route is not bad, but man, everybody's going to be doing that. I'm avoiding that. And that was like 2 hours when I started. It was like 2 hours and 56 minutes to do that way, and it was 2 hours 57 minutes to do the 69.75. So it was 1 minute penalty to go up into Flint, over going 696 to the lodge to 94 to 75 and come north. I'll take the extra minute and stay the hell out of that mess.
Yeah, of course it has me taking, when I dragged it to take you, across 59, it says you're getting back on 75 and going south.
Well, seeing as Steve's in Florida, and Don's probably working, and Phil's mad at me, I'm not going to take 59.
Why? What did you do that pissed me off?
I didn't bring P.U.T. to the channel.
Oh, you're right. Goodbye forever. No. Speaking of that, what's his node number? I can just try dialing him up directly.
I don't know, Fred. Do you think he wants his node published out here? But what is it? Do you know it offhand? Is the one that him and Hohen that are generally on?
You can just text it to me.
Yeah, my problem is I'm driving. Hold on. I think I can figure it out. I got that clear node. Let me see if I can get the number, shoot it over.
I don't know, I checked you about them. I don't know, where are they hanging out now? Oh, they're over on the radar hub, I bet you. So, 45505. Yeah, 45505.
Yeah, I know it's the radar hub, but really it's just, like, I went over there to get them, and I ran into Nick. He was there, and I know Ho's been there, and so, all right, yeah, that's it. I'll look it up if not, but you should run into Nick on that one, so there'll be some familiar voices.
Okay, is that always connected to the 3.1, or do they take it up and down?
As far as I can tell, it's just Dan's personal thing. Why he calls it the radar hub, I don't know, or node. but it's not connected to any RF of any significance. He might have a little home-based repeater on it, but I don't think he's got... It's not connected to any of the big machines.
No, that's because BJP, RP, you know, the radar, the old-school radar guys, that's why he's calling it that.
All right, well, I'll try connecting up to it and see if I can reach him. So, thank you for that. Yeah, Sean, if it was me going your way, I'd just go down 59. It's a huge difference in mileage, if you care about that. Time-wise, it's probably about the same, but if you think about it, it's probably, I'm guessing, at least 10, 15 miles shorter.
Well, clearly it'll be shorter mileage-wise. There's no question about that. But time-wise, according to the Google, it's saying it's 25 additional minutes to go that route.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. That's a lot. All right. Let you go. I'm going to try to ring up Dan. See if I can find him. All right. Catch you later. AVAP.
Bye-bye. Have fun.
I heard Ho got dinner out of Mother M the other night.
He did, man. He ate and drank on the blue ticket. So, and we had, on Tuesday night, our Motorola rep wanted to bend our ear, try to figure out where we were with some major projects. And on day number two, another Motorola guy had a bigger, fancier thing going across the way. Have you been to the Muskegon one yet? I don't think you've been to Muskegon, have you?
No, I've only been to Stump Stop Class.
Right, right. So, right across Shoreline Drive or whatever it is, there's this real fancy place called like the Harbor Club or something like that. And so Saturday night, but we had already told a couple of guys that, you know, from dispatch that we'd we'd grab something with them because we didn't really have any plans. And so it kind of a douche move to say, hey, we got a better offer. We're gonna go over here. So we skipped out on that one. That was with Bush and the boys. And then we get another offer because Dan says, hey, man, I got the blue ticket. I'm like, damn it. You know, it's like, eh. So we got a couple other guys and we'll be right. So we passed on that. So we had two offers, and we passed. And then we get downstairs and PFN was there and PFN said, yeah, we're taking all you guys. So they took all of us. So PFN ended up picking it up. So there you go.
Yeah, Ho was doing his Ho thing. So I had a caller with one of the guys, some guy from PFN, so I talked to him for a little bit, but, Ho doing Ho things.
I'll be back in 8:10.
Roger. W8FU. Yeah, I was there for a couple of Ho doing Ho things, and I don't know if he clearly explains, when he's talking to these people, what he's looking for, but maybe he just wants to get a card or a contact or something like that. But yeah, he hit the Verizon gal up right at the end there, and I saw him hitting up the PFN dudes, and so I kind of know what he's looking for, but I don't know that they're so sure. So, but anywho. Ho doing Ho things.
Yeah. Exactly. Other than that, so you have fun meeting all your yearly, meet your friends and spend, wine and dines.
One quite like when What's-Her-Face from CCU is there, but it's close. No, but, I had a pretty productive conference this time. I gotta say, I got something out of the actual presentations, a couple of them, but the networking, and I got a lot accomplished. There was a lot of really good productive time there. So all the right people were there. Every single right person that I needed to talk to about a particular issue. Were there, and everybody was engaged and talking about it. And right up to the top, it was pretty damn good. I think we got some progress made on an issue I'd rather not, get too particular about. But anyhow, it was good. It was good.
Well, good. Means it wasn't just a drink on the taxpayer dime kind of thing. So I guess that's a plus. Just sitting here working. I'm basically going to have to make a phone call probably within the next hour and be an FF to a couple of vendors, so I'm trying to psych myself up to do that, because, contrary to popular belief, the FF, it takes some preparation. He's just not always switched on 24/7.
All right. Not sure how far I am from Lansing, so I just checked my phone. It says 1 hour, 51 minutes. If I take the convoluted route, that's probably going to get me in a whole bunch of trouble with the 696 closure. And for one additional minute, I can do smooth sailing 69 to Flint. So I guess I'm coming to your neighborhood.
I'll make sure you wave. Make sure. Oh, it's not Friday. I was going to say, I had the fish yesterday at Halo Burger, because Rob wanted me to try it, and I got to see the new grill. They got a new grill, the clamshell type grills, and so they had just got it installed at Hill Road there, and they were doing testing on it, so I saw that, and I got this, because yesterday, it was Ash Wednesday, so I had my fish, and so you could probably handle on it.
But your last name, you're Jewish. What do you mean, fish on Ash Wednesday?
I'm married a Catholic.
The woman rules the roost.
She doesn't eat fish. So she had grilled cheeses yesterday. I do it for her, so I love fish.
Was it any good? I may be ready for lunch as I'm going through it. Which one do I need to go to? Is it convenient to my travel?
Oh, actually, I don't know. I'm thinking, if you came down 475, that might, yeah, instead of going down 75, you go down 475, get off at Hill Road, and go east a mile, I think it's a mile, maybe less than a mile. There's a Halo right there at Hill and Porter. So it's a mile east of 475, and then you can either go back west on Hill Road to 475 and go right down south, or, which we obviously will run into that, or down... You just keep going east another mile to Dort and take Dort Highway all the way back down, but I'd probably go back, yeah. So it's a mile off of 475 there at Hill Road. It was good. I had an extra tartar. I was like, they have a really good tartar sauce, and so I was like, I just need to make sure it was a little bit more on the tartar for me than what I like it. I like a little extra tartar, but that's it. And it was pretty good.
Oh, I'm not interested in anything that adds any time or miles, a quick stop right up the freeway, so I'll be looking for one direct, if I'm even in the mood for something. at that time. I may not be. I'm not really hungry right now, and it's only probably an hour out from where I'm at. I don't know, but bottom line is I'd look for one right off the freeway on my route. I'm going to take 69 straight to 75 and straight south.
Yeah, that's about the only one I can think of right now. That way, you know, there is one at Belstein 69, but that requires you to go further east. Further east than 475, I should say. But, and by that, it's almost noon, so I'm sure they fed you this morning, but you're probably not going to be... Are you even to Lansing yet?
I'm not real good out this way. I think, you know, according to the map that I'm driving here, you know, it's coming up, but I don't know. I can't judge. I'm at mile 74, and I don't recognize anything. It looks very rustic, so I'm still clearly west of Lansing. But, well, let me see. How far until it tells me I got to split?
You should be coming up to, I believe, Portland next. Portland's probably going to be your next exit. I think that's 76 or 77.
All right, according to this, I got to stay on this for 14 miles. So the split is in 14 miles. Or, well, maybe not the split, but something comes up in 14 miles.
Yeah, you're near Portland. Your EVL isn't on, but yeah, you're near Portland then.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Good. If you're by Lansing, there's a peanut store right there downtown. Fresh roasted daily.
Oh, that one we were talking about. Yeah, yeah. I want to get home. So, been gone for 3 days, and you know, I gotta run up in the Flint and then come south because of the 696 tomfoolery. So, I ain't doing anything that's gonna require I delay the travel anymore.
Oh yeah, I gotcha. I was just out that way yesterday. And I'm gonna be out that way next week. I think we might be doing St. Joseph next week, I'm not sure yet.
Did you text me or message me or email me or something? Something popped up in my notifications, and I've been driving here. I haven't had time to go through, you know, and see what it was. But was that, did you, or was it just a conversation or something? But I thought I saw something pop up that had your fingerprints on it.
Yeah, I messaged you with a picture of a Cisco 7620, I think it is.
Okay, yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. I've been driving I try to keep away from the texting and messaging and all that stuff while I'm driving. I'm distracted enough just figuring out where the hell I'm going and talking on the radio.
Well, I recently acquired a Cisco, I think it's like a 7620 VoIP. And it's got that directory module to the right of it. I just texted it. Will this work?
Probably not. They had Cisco had a series of, Fred may know, Cisco had a series of phones that were, consumer or small office, and then they had enterprise-grade ones, which had to be, you had to have a provisioning server. Now, I don't know if perhaps using the one we don't use anymore, Ham Shack Hotline, sent you provision with them. I don't know if maybe that would get around it, but it's my understanding that those enterprise level ones, we can't do the custom stuff like we're doing. Fred probably can speak to that better than I.
I don't remember. I'm not big on the Cisco ones. I'm more of the Unilink expert. I just know my side, we call it a sidecar. I can edit mine from my phone, but that's about it. And it's got the LEDs and all that, LCD.
I think you're going to get a no on that, because those have, you know, there's no way to set this stuff up natively. It has to be done from a provisioning server. So, you know, unless you were able to spoof it and send it to that or something, and I don't know, but you can look into it, but I don't know that those are going to be doable. You know, because, like, again, like I said, those are designed for, you know, corporate enterprise environment and, you know, generally where there's a big provisioning server on site and all that good stuff, and the customer has no ability to do anything, or the end user has no ability to do anything in that environment.
Okay, at least it gives me something to play around with and see what I can do with it.
Yeah, if you can, you know, if I had one, I'd be hacking at it, seeing what I could find. I know we got something like that at our work. Might even be the same ones you're describing. And I've looked at what we can do in the menu. Now, there is, I think there is a locked out menu that we're not allowed to get to, that the IT could probably get to. And perhaps if you get the, if you have the information to get to the deepest level, maybe you can provision it locally. You know, so yeah, it's worth playing with, right? Going to be in the dumpster anyhow, right?
Very much. All right, yeah, that's what I sent you. I sent you a picture of it. It's an older style Cisco, so I'm not sure what the date code is on it. I can find that out when I'm at my final destination in a bit. Well, drive safe out there, Sean. I'll talk to you in a bit. 73 in your final PC, KGO.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have to attend to something here. So, I won't be able to, you know, look into it or anything like that, you know, today or anything. So take your time. No rush. You don't have to do it when you get stopped, because I ain't going to look at it probably until later tonight at the earliest. Just driving here, focusing on what route I'm going to take, all that good stuff. I think I'm coming up on a commitment here. Yep. It looks like I'm 2 miles from my exit, so... here's where I commit to 69. And who doesn't like to commit to 69? I should stop in and say hi to Stu Jackson. You going by his place. Did you know Stu, Fred?
Wasn't he at the radio shop, wasn't he?
He's been a Motorola ST as long as I've known him. He worked out of the Mount Clemens shop back in the, way back in the 80s. And he ran one of the biggest BBSs in Southeast Michigan at the time. One of the very earliest ones, and one of the biggest ones somewhere out of Mount Clemens. And then... but he's been with Motorola since not as long as I can remember. He's retired now. He retired as an ST and lives in one of those about 69 kind of. Oh man, hold on, I got to get over. I'm getting screwed up. Okay, all right, 69 exit 89, 69 East Flint. The decision has been made.
Heard the name, but I've never had the pleasure.
Yeah, I didn't work with him on as many projects as I would have liked, because I did like Stu a lot. The ones I did work on them with were always very enjoyable. And, you know, we've maintained good friendship over the years. I haven't seen him in a while since he's retired because it's a long ways out here. I forget the name of the town he's in. It's some small town nobody knows the name of unless you live out this way. You might know it, but I forget. And you know, I see his on Facebook. He's still doing the car shows. He's got a beautiful, I think it's a 69 GTO. Just absolutely gorgeous. Winning awards all the time with that bad boy. And living his best retired life. So there you have it.
Well, that's all one can hope for or ask for after decades of work, you know. We could all strive to make it that far and be able to do that at least.
All right, so 69, especially west of 75 from Lansing to Flint, is completely uncharted territory for me. I've been on it a few times, but not much. But it's my understanding that the speed limits don't apply here. You can go as fast as you want, right?
Correct. You'll be able to do 75 as the posted limit once you get through Lansing there.
There really is no speed limit on 69, I'm told.
I mean, it's 75 is what's posted, but I when I take it across, usually to keep up with the flow, especially like at drive time, 85, 90 is the flow.
Yeah, I was just joking, but 69, I know, east of, you know, from Port Huron to Flint has always been really fast. And I've never had any trouble there. But who knows, you know. I got pulled over for 10 over by Madison Heights recently. But, of course, that was on a surface street. The jack wagon gave me a no proof of insurance. This will only cost you $25. Well, thanks for the courtesy, dude. So remember that next time you need something over our side of the border.
No, exactly. Like, they still patrol it, but usually you run a Waze or anything like that. Waze is really good about keeping up where they sit. Sometimes they'll sit on the north side of Lansing, between 127 and 96. You'll usually find a county sitting there. State boys are usually just inside the Shiawassee County line, but usually they're going after commercial. So it's 50-50 if it's commercial or regular. But between the one rest area and there,
All right, well, I'm mostly kidding. I know it's a fast-moving road, but I'll go with traffic. And if it gets up to 75, it won't be, you know. Hey, the worst you can do is 80, you know. Well, everybody will give you 5, so. 80's a pretty good clip. All right. Here we are. Exit 85, DeWitt.
Yeah, my dad's cousin lived there. You know, us Moseses, we got 10 all over.
This is W8FU.
Oh, yeah, W8FU.
I think I'm going to go drop in over on the radar hub and see if Phil and Dan managed to connect. I'm curious to what Dan's opinion is on that item, so I'm going to go bounce over there for a few.
Yeah, I'd call and be a FF to some people. It's still bad in the mood, but I'm going to do it, damn it. W8FU,
I'll be back, I bet.
NHKPP is back.
KFHBPA, KFH Bravo Papa Alpha, mobile monitoring. KFHBPA, mobile monitoring.
NHKPP. NHKPP. Mobile in and around.
Out there, Dave. Aviate Peter.
I am making progress. It's coming up on Middle Belt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just at Pontiac Trail, so I'll be there in a couple minutes.
Alright. At least it's, I think the weather's going to warm up here a little bit. It was really cold this morning. There's snow in the car this morning. I left my car outside. So, next week, 60 degrees.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so sick of this cold weather. All right, tower's in sight.
All right, yeah, I'm just at Middle Belt and Lone Pine or whatever. This is, I'll be there in a minute.
All right, AVAPR.
AVAPR, and it's like him.
K-8-R-U-H.
DQ-495.
Ay, ay, ay. How long are we going to let it go on?
Construction?
No, I'm just listening to the GMRS system and got first personals and waving hands and waving my antenna and Roger beeps and Jesus H. Christ, take the whole damn thing down. I'll drink to that.
KFABOT, I'll have a good shot to that one also. At least they did away with the GMRS repeaters.
Did what? GMRS repeaters are all over the place.
Here in months, so I get the same response though as you do.
Hello, Anthony. Hello, Donald. There's somebody else in there. But GMRS repeaters are alive and well. I don't know what you've been hearing, but they're alive and well.
KSABOT, this is Eric Holly. I thought I heard last night that they just changed that, but hell, it was a great dream for a minute.
Nope, still there. Go ahead, Donald.
Good afternoon, W8RCY. Yeah, I mean, I'm back on my home repeater, which is the Troy standalone that's been around for well over 30 years, close to maybe 35, 36 years. Only been on it 4 years, and I'm doing everything I can to keep its reputation intact. But unfortunately, there are a few that are creeping over to that repeater, and if the administration, which I'm no longer a part of in any way, shape, or form, lets that place become a BS, SS show, so to speak, I'm done with GMRS altogether after being on it since 1978. I just can't do it anymore. And, you know, it's a shame for being on it for so long and what has happened to it within the last 18 months is just a shame. Appreciative of what the program that Sean and all these other people started, but it just got out of control. And I mean, I think it's a blessing that I got my ham ticket when I did. Now it's just a matter of expanding my ham capabilities with, you know, getting on the networks that are available, nodes, and et cetera. So that's where I stand. So if it goes down, let it go.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate, but, you know, what are you going to do? Somebody will end up shutting it off. This is KE8RUH. Sean, good talking to you. Hopefully it means you're back in town. And I am just pulling into the driveway, so I'll catch up with all you guys later. Have a great evening, and I will listen out.
All right, Anthony. Yeah, I am back. I'm just heading out to grab some... I got in, got unpacked, got a few things squared away, and I'm just heading out to grab some food for the wife and I. And so just going to try to recover. But it was pretty good conference. Got a lot of good information, accomplished a lot. So it was all good. We'll see you later. Who is the station up there near Holly? My name is Sean. The call is W8FU. Go ahead.
I don't think they're up there, so I'll jump in. Again, W8RCY for identification. I've been on amateur with my Boofwang, and I've got I'm locked in on Troy on my moto today. And probably hear the scanner going on in the background. But, most people come over to Troy and they ask for radio checks, and I say, radio's sounding fine. The problem's not your radio. The repeater up here in Troy is well established. We know that's working fine. You might want to check the operator. And then I just go on from there.
Well, I was just responding to something I heard over there a minute ago. But, so I'll tell you one thing I do, I don't dwell on it. Like I said, if something's annoying me, click, it annoys me no more. I've learned that the hard way. So I'd rather not talk about it here either. I was just bitching, that's all. So, all right, I'm just about to my chow food ski. I'm going to jump inside and grab my order, and we'll be back out here in a few. W8FU, F years.
I do apologize to those who had to listen to my little mini rant, but it just hurts because I've been on this thing for so long, and all the way back to the days of Chris Deluge, Sean, who you know, and like I say, watching it go to pot, it just guts me, you know, because all it takes is a bad apple or two or three, and it just ruins all the fun. I mean, it's part of the reason why I feel like I do. It just sucked the life out of me wanting to be a part of this hobby. And, I don't know. All right, well, I'll let you go get your Fooski, and I'll be listening, but I won't be listening to that side of the world, that's for sure, except for Troy. Those who had to listen to me, I apologize on this band. W8RCY. Just frustrated.
Man, now there's a garbage can in my way. Good grief. All right, on the road again.
Well, welcome home. Radio is sounding perfect all the way home. I heard you talking to a couple of guys, and I heard you talking to Fred, and, you know, about which way to go and everything else, and so forth. But, yeah, your equipment was solid all the way back, just as it was all the way out there and while you were out there, and it was quite impressive to listen to. All right, enjoy your evening, relax, put your feet up, and make the best of it. I did White Castles for lunch, and all I've been doing is bourbon, so. All right, have a good evening. I'll be quiet for the rest of the evening. I mean, I'll be monitoring. No, excuse me, sandbagging. I'll be sandbagging on the couch for the rest of the evening with the radio on. W8RCY, we're clear.
Yeah, the All-Star stuff works really well. So it almost makes it too darn easy. But I had uninterrupted communications all the way to and from. The only person that was shaky was there was a guy way up by Indian River, and his internet was flaking a little bit on him, so he was a little broken at times. But other than that, he and Dan and myself and a few others even had Nick chime in from Florida, and it's all good, man. Okay, we'll be back to the grind tomorrow morning unless I decide to call off, but I don't think I'm going to. Talk to you then, or later, or whatever. W8FU. Was that Nacho Mama?
That's right, the Neanderthal man.
Oh, man, that light I just went through was orange, and I'm in Madison Heights, where I've already gotten pulled over this month. No, maybe that was last month. Anyhow, made it home, took 69 to 75 and 75 south. That was smooth sailing, except for a truck that was on fire on I-75 about Square Lake. Aside from a little slowdown for that, it was pretty smooth. Got home, got unpacked, got comfortable and all that stuff, and decided to go out for some Chinese food. So I'm just on my way home with that. What do you got cooking?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I was just starting to think about that. What is it? Going on 5 o'clock. I have no idea.
I have this newfound, I wouldn't say it's love, but this newfound appreciation for chicken chop suey. It's very bland, kind of, I mean, if you get a place that does it well, it's tasty, but it's very mild. You know, it's got all the kind of things that if your stomach's upset. So my stomach's a little upset right now. I don't know if it's just the drinking or the fancier, you know, foods that I'm not used to or something for the last couple, 3 days, but just... I felt like something medicinal. So I said, I'm going to Young's. I'm getting some chicken chop suey. So that's why I ran there. That's what I'm on my way home with.
Very good. Yeah, now I'm thinking. Now I'm getting hungry. I'm going to have to start foraging here, I think, shortly.
Dan Blue there with you, or are you fending for yourself?
She's inside watching TV. I'm out here in the manland.
Oh, there you go. What's the temp down there?
You know, that's a good question. It's kind of cool. Let me see if this tells me. 65.
Well, there you go. We're
We're at a balmy 34.
Yeah, I guess a cold front pushed through. I'm going to slide down my windows here. I could drop a gonad doing that. Christ. Anyways, we had a cold front come through, and it's supposed to be like in the 40s tonight, and then all over by, you know, morning, by noon, they said it'll be 80. So, cool.
Well, that works. But I'll tell you, there's a lot to be said about, you know, you getting used to it. As my mother used to say, your blood thickens up. Because we had that frigid stuff, you know, we were that single-digit stuff. I think you were here for a little bit of that. And, you know, it got up into the 20s, and we're running around like idiots, you know, with light jackets and stuff like that. Felt great. And then the last couple of days, it's been hitting 40, and it was great the first couple of days out there in Muskegon at the conference. And then last night, it dove down into the 20s, and it's like, God, this feels worse than the teens. So I'm running around today kind of feeling it, but it's more just, it's weird how you just get used to it. Doesn't take long, just a few days, but right now I'm in that, I was used to warmer, and this sucks. So I'm in that phase right now. But you know that all too well. You run down to Florida, get used to that, and it dips down, you know, to 65 or 60, and you're like, it's chilly.
Yeah, and it was kind of brutal. I had a hard time with that that cold spell. Because, geez, I haven't been in that stuff, N8NM, for 5 years. And, yeah, that was rough. You do get used to it. And now that I'm down here, though, I've only been back, what, a week? And I'm already acclimated to it. And, yeah, like 65, and I'm shutting the windows.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing that we're like that. You know, you look at people that live in these brutal places around the earth, you know, where it rarely gets warm at all, and you know, they're just doing just fine. You know, they're used to it. There's this one show I've been catching. It's somewhere in Siberia. It's considered the coldest inhabited place on earth, and they show some of the challenges of it and everything, but. It's just nuts. I mean, it's always below zero, and everything's freezing, and they have to just be real careful about how they pipe things around. And the heating used to be pumped from a central, they had central heating from like a central facility, and they would pump it in pipes from building to building, so the pipes between would lose heat, and, you know, but if you're the last one in the line, it's like, you know, better hope all the insulation's good on them pipes, because you're getting whatever makes it to you.
Pause for station identification there. It's kind of the opposite
now. WAFUAB, PR. Not the show.
Right away is people start work really early in the morning down here. Even this time of year when it's still kind of cool, and it gets quiet by, well, after lunchtime, and it's probably why. You know, cultures that live in hot climates have the siesta thing, man, because you gotta get out of that sun when it's 90-some degrees. You can't be up on the roof, you know?
Roger that. Nope. It's a matter of getting acclimated. Phil, were you in there?
Oh, sorry, I'm coming through, the DV switch, and I had the volume down, so I didn't hear you. Sorry. Yeah, are you in a position to, I'm trying to set some audio levels on the repeater here, and I want to hear how, get an idea what it's sounding like coming through the link.
All right, give me a minute to switch over. I'll be right back in a second.
8NM.
Test 1, 2. Okay,
I'm linked. Okay, I'm also listening to myself on the DB switch. So, if you can listen on the FBI on the dot 6 and let me know how I sound, if it sounds good or whatever, then I know the receive is okay.
Well, I just switched to it now, so I got time for one more test, and my food's getting cold.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead and switch over to dot 6. Listen. Tell me if the audio sounds okay on that end. Testing 1 2 3. 1 2 3. Hello.
It doesn't sound terrible. It sounds maybe a little bright, but it's not horrible. It's pretty close.
Okay, good. By the way, you were on the RF side. How did it sound over where you are?
Signal-wise, it was fine. I didn't look at specifically how good it was coming in, but there was no problem. Sounded terrible, but signal-wise was fine. All right, I'm going to get in with our food. I got our dinner here and dragging my feet. I'll catch you from inside in a bit if you're still putzing with it. W8 a few.
Okay, great. Catch you later, ABAPR.
ABAPR test. Testing. 1 2 2 1 2. Test.
Station testing. This is KFAAYL. Do you need some signal reports?
Okay. Sorry, there's a nice question jumped in there for you. I was in the middle of doing something. Are you still there?
If you were calling for the guy who said he'd give you signal reports, that's me. But you're coming in pretty... I'm not sure how to describe that one. I could make out what you were saying, but it was pretty muted out. Yeah, muted's not the right word. It was pretty washed out. I'm not sure what it was. Can't pay it well.
Sorry, I'm kind of monitoring myself. Hold on. Test 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2. How does that sound to you?
There's a lot of echo and feedback. I think you got other radios on the same frequency, so you can't. I think that's not really a good thing to do. If you're going to broadcast on one, you can't have any other radios around you that are on the same frequency talking back at you.
Yeah, right. Okay, I just moved away from the other radios. So how does this audio sound? Is it comparable to others without changing your volume?
Well, that's a lot better. The echo and the feedback is gone. The audio still sounds like you're fine. I can make out perfectly what you're saying, but there's something going on with the audio. I'm not sure how to articulate that. But the feedback part is gone, and that's really good because your previous broadcasts were no good there.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the input. I'll keep playing around here. ABAPR.
Hey, Phil. It sounds like a poor digital signal, and there's a whine in the background and a real long squelch tail.
The whine in the background may just be some noise where I'm at. let me try to, man, let me actually step outside here and get away from the noise. Okay. How's it sound right now?
Kenny and a long squelch tail. This is Wally, by the way.
Okay. I'm not sure why that is yet, but I'll keep working on it. AVPR.
Yeah, it almost doesn't sound like you, bud. So, and then at the end it goes...
Okay, thanks. I'll see if I can figure that out. AVPR.
It kind of sounds like you're on the deck of a helicopter or something. That's the best I can put it. KF3D. Well. And AKPP.
KF8CAR.
There's a call sign I haven't heard in a while. W8RCI waves a hand.
Hey, Donald. How's it going? KF8 car. Room, room. How you been, man?
Oh, I'm doing just ducky. I'm just chillaxing. Actually, sandbagging on the couch right now. Not doing much of anything. Just going through a few things on Facebook before I log back off because I'm not even on Facebook right now as much. I'm just going in and checking a few things, and I'm about to log off for the day. Going on in about maybe 30 minutes to an hour, and that's it.
That's cool. I just heard both Phil and Wally. Sean was on earlier. You're probably listening, too. Man, Phil had some serious noise over there going on. That squelch tail is pretty epic. I'm not making fun. I was just saying, I don't know what's going on over there. He's got something going on, though. If you guys are listening, hey, Phil, hey, Wally.
Well, I know Phil made some changes to his repeater. I think he's also got a problem with something else, an amplifier or something. It's a little bit above my head. I don't fully understand it. I'm still trying to figure out other things like, you know, getting my DMR and all that stuff set up. But anyway, yeah, sorry my scanner's on a little loud and I don't feel like crawling off the couch to turn it down. But, Sean is back in town. He was away on business. And Phil's playing with his toys. Wally's in and out. And like I said, me, I just play on the couch now and that's about it. But really, nothing really much is new except for the some of the text messages that we shared, and I responded to your last voice message. I don't know if you got it or not, because I voice messaged you back, and I haven't heard anything since, so I don't know if you received it or not. But I did try to reach back to you that way, and don't think I ignored you.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't have anything from you, but no worries. I figured you'd be busy anyway. Yeah, I've been busy myself, man. Work's been kicking my butt. And finally got my car back, and I missed the last breakfast. So not sure if I'm going to make it this weekend. I had one of my sister's godfather passed away a few days ago, and I have to attend the funeral on Saturday. So that's probably going to be out, but... Yeah, I haven't really been doing a whole lot in terms of this hobby. So a couple things here and there, but for the most part, just hanging out on DMR, Brandmeister mostly as usual, and chat a little bit on Who Cares here and there. But, yeah, not too active, and I'm ashamed of it. You should shame me for it.
No, no reason to shame. You've had legitimate reasons from what I, you know, where we've talked privately. So I get it. And, you know, I haven't been to breakfast since the 11th of January, and you know why. but it's just the fact that, yeah, the hobby for me right now is no fun. And I've got a race in Sebring, Florida I'm going to next weekend, and I'll be gone Wednesday through Saturday. I should be home early Sunday morning from that, but on the 16th. But so, yeah, really, though, I just, like I say, and you know a couple other things that I haven't mentioned over the radio that I've told you in private, but I'm fine from that. I'm okay with everything else that's happened and so on and so forth. So it's just good to hear you on the radio. It's good to know that your radio still works. You sound solid into the system. And maybe when I get back from Sebring, Florida, we'll catch up and we'll work out something now that you got your wheels back and, you know, you're on the loose. But I also have to remember you got to travel eastbound from Novi, and 696 being down, that's even going to make it harder for you to come to breakfast. So we'll work out something. Don't worry about it. Catch up with you later. Good to hear from you. W8RCY.
Yeah, man, it's nice to hear from you, too. Thank you. And enjoy your trip, man. It's going to be a lot better than it's been here, that's for sure. Last month was brutal with the cold, and the weather just altogether has just been garbage. But we are Michiganders, and we know what that's like. Anyway, yeah, we'll catch up for sure. It's not a problem driving out that way. I got to come into the office 3 days a week now anyway to Troy, so... I have to find alternate routes, man, and the Waze app is what saves my ass. Anyway, good talking, man. W8RCY, KFA car, clear.
KF8S.
What's going on?
No copy.
I was wondering what happened there.
I think you talked when you quit keyed, and I don't think any of your audio went through.
I'm new here.
There you go. Yeah, we're spoiled. We don't have to wait like on digital for the beep to happen and then talk and then wait for the beep to go away. Ay. So you're finally out of work?
Yep, just making my way home. Finally, I was on the phone when I left, but I'm finally to 34-mile road here. And starting my weekend, I took Friday off. I felt like I needed a day, so I took a day.
Yeah, they gave everybody off tomorrow. We have wellness days again. They started them back up. Usually they time them around like holidays, like if there's like Easter, for example, like that Friday before Easter will be off. But March doesn't have any like special holidays, so they just decided March 7th was the thing. But, you know, anytime they do this stuff, it's like, oh, everybody's got a company wellness day, but everybody just pushes themselves for those 4 days before it, and I was up until 3 a.m. trying to get a demo presentation ready and signed off by my boss so that I don't have to think about it anymore.
I know what you mean. I am, like, kind of stressed about not being there tomorrow because it's just, you know, my boss and I, and I already got to do some stuff in the morning because he doesn't know how. So it's like, God, man, is it even going to be a day off?
Yeah, probably not. But I usually don't tell my wife when I have a day off. Because that's all of a sudden she'll see me out there. Aren't you working today? No, I have a day off. I'll be like helping, you know, I'll be helping with doing stuff around the house. But I just kind of like, I don't want to mention that I have a day off. I know it's bad.
I actually think that's pretty fair. I took tomorrow off because my wife works this weekend, and I'm like, I don't want to do 7 days straight again, even more than that, actually. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take Friday off. You're home. I'll still obviously be dad, but, you know, I'm not going to have to work, so. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be very relaxing, but I don't have a PTO cap, so I'm just going to take a mental health day.
Yep, sounds good. I've been using, in other news, I've been playing with ChatGPT and, well, not ChatGPT, it's GitHub Copilot and VS Code. And I would say I'm going to see how much code I cannot write myself. And I'm amazed at what you can do with it. The only problem is if your code file gets too big, it starts having like these limits when it tries to rewrite your code. So you end up having to make smaller code files so that when it's modifying stuff, it's not going to hit their rate limit.
It's funny you say that because I was doing the same thing today, trying to figure out which one was going to give me what I wanted, and I couldn't figure it out because, A, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and I was banking on ChatGPT and Copilot to do it for me. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to republish a Chrome extension that was published by a guy that used to do stuff for us to extract a link from a video in one of our tools that we have. And I have to update it from the deprecated V2 to the V3, and the manifest has to be changed and all that. And I was like, this is way out of my league. But, yeah, I can see how ChatGPT is incredibly powerful if you know how to manipulate it.
Yeah, I have found that the key is to ask it to do small changes at a time. Don't ask it to say, I want to do this and this and this and this. Like, if you give it a list of things to do, it's a little too much. So you got to do it in small little baby steps. I want my code to do this, or, you know, I want, write me a snippet for such and such, right? And then it seems to do it okay. But if you try to ask it, write me the whole program, it's like, no, it's not gonna it's gonna have some fun.
Right before I called it a day and gave up on it, I noticed that too. Like if I said, all right, update, I started with the broad stuff like you just said, right? Like update this manifest to be compatible with Google Chrome extensions by today for V3. And it would do it, and it would look like it was right, and I'd bring it into Chrome, and it would give me errors. So then I would copy and paste the error into the ChatGPT, and it's like, oh, well, your syntax is wrong. It's like, you wrote the syntax.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is sometimes it's information is out of date. So, like, it won't know how to write the newer, like, if there's a newer way, a newer and better way of doing things, it might not have that knowledge yet. It's going off of, like, past examples. I don't even know how they train it, to be honest. But they're just looking at Stack Overflow articles and doing stuff. I mean, that's the part I don't understand about all this. How do they train it to do things? Like, I would like to learn how to do that because it might help me understand how to better use this stuff.
It would be nice to talk to it in a way that it was trained and can interpret correctly. Because if you don't know that, you're kind of just trial and error until you get it to do what you want, and then you know how you have to talk to it. But from my experience, ChatGPT has been the best, and I think it's probably because it's the most heavily used and has had the most opportunity for that model to mature. I'm really banking on Copilot. I really like Copilot, but I use it for an entirely different purpose. Like, I lean on Copilot for, you know, not Azure Identity now. A lot of the Microsoft stuff I'll put into Copilot, and it seems to be pretty good. And I imagine it's because they trained it on the Microsoft model.
Well, they're all sharing what they call those LLMs, with the language learning modules. So even if you say you're using like Copilot, it might be using like Meta's LLM or something, or the called a GPT LLM or whatever. So there's not only are there engines, but there's the language modules, and they're all sharing them together. So just to say you're using ChatGPT might not necessarily be the, you know, the thing, right? We're just saying, you know, these AI or these, I don't even know what we use for the term for these, but yeah, it's kind of, it's all interesting. It is the future. I don't know how much I'll be working into this new world. You know, I got probably less than 10 years left of my working career, but I'll still play with it once I'm outside of working. You know, I am playing with it outside. You know, I'm trying to write stuff with it or experiment with it. And I do find that it helps me, though. You know, it not only does it help me learn, like if I see the examples, I go, never thought about doing it that way. So it's like helping me. It's training the human, too.
I don't think it's a replacement. It's definitely another tool in the arsenal. But I do the same thing. I treat it as like a highly sophisticated search engine. Because I already generally have no idea about it. The fact that I didn't accomplish it is a testament to that. But I treat it like it's a sophisticated search engine because if I can say, do X, Y, and Z, or find me this and tell me this, it saves me all the time of digging through the articles in Google. It's like the new Google Foo.
Oh, yeah. And, I'm using it for programming or whatever, but you can use it for pretty much anything, right? Like, how do I do this? Or explain to me the history of the United States in, like, a paragraph or something. And I write the big summary or something. But there's a lot of things that, like, I don't know the answer to. And I just go, let's see what this thing says. And, like, if you ask Siri doesn't really give you an answer. If you ask, you know, all the other ones, don't really give you an answer until you go in and say, let's try to use it with one of these AI models. And then, like, all of a sudden there's, like, the sophisticated answer for you.
So you brought up Apple, and I've been extremely disappointed with the fact that their AI model is not really in existence yet. Have you heard anything on that, like a timeline of when it's going to be mature enough to release?
Well, if you have an iPhone 16 and you've done all the updates, they've got something going on in there where if it doesn't know the answer, it'll ask ChatGPT for you. And it's got like a very limited, like, you can't just keep on sitting there asking it questions all day. Eventually it goes to their lower tier. Like, they give you so many answers with ChatGPT's like mid-tier, and then it's like, oh, you reached your daily throttle limit, now we're going to use our lower quality engine or something like that. I've been generating pictures and stuff like that, just funny little pictures, and just to see what it comes out with. And so I don't know if that's what they mean by their Apple intelligence or if it's something else.
I've got a 16 Pro Max, and I've basically turned off, like, any AI feature I've seen so far because it's been so bad, like notification summary and all that crap. I cannot, and the mail sorting. The mail sorting, if you use the iOS app, is legitimately the worst thing I've ever used in my entire life. I was missing so many emails because the way it was trying to categorize them or marking, like, legit emails as, like, spam or junk. I do have the AI image generator and emoji thingy. Like, there's some stuff, but it's all trivial, like, you know, ooh, look what I can do things, nothing useful. And I did notice that if I ask Siri stuff, it'll say ask ChatGPT or search the web. Do you have the paid version of ChatGPT? Like, is it worth it if you have it?
I do not have the paid version. The only thing I pay for is Copilot through GitHub, and I just use it for personal stuff. I'm not allowed to use it for work, so if I'm using it, it's usually just for fun, or not necessarily for fun. I wrote, like, the whole, like, bot thing to monitor you know, the lurker node. So it's working out pretty good, too. It's monitoring, and it sends me push. I think I sent you a screenshot yesterday. It sends me these pushover notifications if, like, people have been talking for more than 50% within the last 2 minutes. It'll give me a notification. Hey, there's activity out here.
I read that, and I forgot to reply. I was wondering what that was. It looked like mesh tastic at a glance, and then I was like, oh, it's not mesh tastic. What is that? But, no, that's sweet. Yeah, it's super useful. Like, I kind of am almost to the point where I'm, like, getting lazy. Not lazy, but, like, for example, if I've got to send a well-written email to someone I could care less to talk to, I'll literally just hit the Copilot button in Outlook and say, write an email saying this, this, and this. And it drafts such a great email, and I just proof it and send it. So that's how I've been utilizing it. Like I said, I don't think it's anywhere near replacement yet, especially after I was trying to mess with some image generation in Photoshop, image generation in ChatGPT. It's not good. Like, it'll spit stuff out. It looks like it's in Russian characters when I clearly typed it in English. But it's still fun to mess with. It's just not, I don't think it's there yet.
KF8S. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Yeah, it'll mature over time. Who knows what our... I haven't let my kids play with it at all, but when they start getting access to it, I'm a little bit worried for what they're going to come up with. They have gotten access to the... there's like this playground thing. You've probably seen the app on your phone that it'll let you take a picture, and then you can say, I want, like... make a picture of me and you give it a photo and you say, like, make me a picture of me, like, in space or something like that. I'll put a helmet on you and make a cartoon version of you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a lot of toys, so to speak, kind of on par with mesh tastic, but a little more advanced. But I am pulling in the driveway, and my in-laws are here, it looks like, and we had parent-teacher, or my daughter had parent-teacher conferences tonight, so find out how that went, and I'm playing hooky tomorrow, so maybe I'll catch you. I'll be clear of yours, NADDF.
All right, good luck. Hopefully your kid was well-behaved. Talk to you later. Can't say that.
Peter, anyone else out there on the Dot 6 can tell me how it sounds?
Hold on, I'm on yours. Let me switch over there.
Okay, I'm interested in that. If that squelch crash is gone, I found an adjustment that was off.
Okay, I'm here now. Let's hear it.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And let me know if there's still squelch crash.
I didn't hear what it was before. I mean, I don't hear anything unusual. There's a little right at the very end of the unkeying, but I wouldn't call it anything unusual. I wouldn't even notice it if you wouldn't told me to look for it.
Yeah, it was nothing was showing. It was keying the COS constantly. So it's because the when I set it all up, the preamp wasn't in there. And with the preamp in there, I had to readjust the internal squelch.
Yeah, makes sense. But no, it sounds fine. Like I said, I don't think the audio is as good as it's been in the past. What all did you do? What prompted all this?
I took my spare Kenwood repeater and the desktop and put it in here. Take the main one out so I can work on the amp and try to get that all fixed up. So this is a temporary replacement.
Oh, okay, that explains it. So, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I wouldn't sweat it. Is that TKR 820, or was that a newer version?
No, that's the 820. Yeah, and actually it's putting out more power than the other one was with the bad amp. So the other one's putting out 20 watts. This is putting out almost 35.
Let me bounce back over there and see how it's coming in here. I wasn't paying attention. Dub, you had a few.
Okay, so, yeah, let me know what you think. It should be, it's probably not negligible over there, but maybe.
No, it's up in the red. This Yaesu 400 doesn't tell me what the markings are up above. It's got a scale that's white, and then it converts to blue. I'm guessing that, you know, the white to blue transition is S9, and then it's 10 over, 20 over, with ticks at the 5. Assuming that's what it is, because they don't tell you, you're 10 to 20 over, and that's better than it was, so it's doing well.
All right, very good. Gonna pack up and get out of here. All right, I just saying you might go to the Leo swap and let me know. Go together if you want. All right, talk to you later, AB at PR.
Yeah, that might be a plan. So, that was what I was thinking as well. And I will say that the audio quality here directly on the 500 is identical to how it sounds on the 26. So, different quality is on the incoming, you know, to the receiver. So, I don't know, I would guess that you have, you probably don't have the emphasis on. Maybe if you turn the emphasis on, it would, take it down a notch. But it's fine, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I had to readjust the levels in the controller, the in and out, and then I don't have my test instrument here, so I'm just doing it by ballpark, by ear gauge. So next, when I bring everything back out of here, I'll bring the proper equipment and set up properly. All right, catch you later, AV8PR.
Okay, catch you later. W8FU. Hey, take care.
All right, give me another transmission there, Dave.
Check, 123, 123, 123. There you go, how's it sound?
Yeah, it definitely is a little tinier than the other machine, so I don't know why that is, but who knows.
Yeah, it sounds a little tinier, it sounds a little distorted, I don't know, is my audio distorted also?
Like I said, it doesn't sound distorted, just a little, very, like there's no lows. It's all highs.
Yep, that's about the way it sounds to me, too.
Again, I don't know why that is. But this is only temporary.
This is just wild speculation. It almost sounds like it's slightly off frequency. Is that possible?
But of course, I don't know how you can get to that on the repeater, but it's also, we're hearing it over here too, so it has to be in the receiver, it's not on the all-star note, but I'd see if there's a de-emphasis setting you can adjust.
I don't think so, but I am pulling the audio right off the discriminator. There is another output that's, it's a little more filtered.
Well, I won't keep you guys, let you talk, but, you know, since it's just in there to keep the thing up and running while you're working on the other, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time on it. You're right, it's bright, but unless it's something, you know, real easy. It's just in there temporarily while you work on the real machine.
Exactly. Oh, boy. So, got more work cut out for me. All right. Keeps me busy, I guess. All right, Dave. I'll catch you later. Boy, for a day that started out looking miserable, it turned pretty. It's cold, but pretty. You know, especially right over the lake.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty cold. One final question, is that audio coming out of the repeater before it goes like through the RF stage, or is it coming off of a receiver? Forgive me. I understand now. Forgive me. I lost my mind for a second. You know what? The reason I just said that is it almost sounds like it's a radio. It's slightly off frequency, but there's a lot of other things that could be distorting that sound audio, too.
No, frequency is very accurate. It's very close. It's within, like, 0.0001, according to my service monitor. No, it's just coming right off the discriminator, which is, you know, the first stage after it's demodulated. So it's, this, like I said, there's another stage in there that probably would be the better one on this machine. On the other repeater, it comes right off the discriminator also, but it's different. When I thought those receiver circuits were identical to these two machines, but maybe not.
We'll get to the bottom of it, and you'll figure it out. So, I'm definitely not familiar with how that repeater is set up, but kind of makes sense. All right, Mr. Phil, I will let you go, and wish you the best of luck with all this, and let me know if I can be of any help. AVAPR, and I take care.
All right, catch you later. Just about back home. AVAPR.
And 8CLH is mobile and monitoring.